go. Recording. The red Report. Button is already pushed. Andrew, stop counting down.
Nice.
Yes, we can hear Fred as well as everybody else here on Cape Chronicles episode number 37.
Wait, do we know we can hear Fred?
Choosing sides here on this wonderful episode as we discuss X-Men: The Last Stand from 2006, which a lot of people believe this movie should have been their last stand, but it wasn't. And this is October the 6th, 2019. As always, I am back, my angelic, wonderful voice, Mike, and I have with me Carrie. How art thou?
I am recovering from a seminar that I was at this morning, and I'm sitting here, you know, trying to stretch out and not stiffen up from 2 hours of class. Yeah.
Stiffen up. Don't
no,
do that.
It's a bad thing.
Hey, Andrea, how are you?
Hey, Mike, I'm doing fantastic.
Well, that's really loud and good. Good job, Andrea. Glad you're with us tonight to talk about.
I was in the staff room at work, and like I said something, and the lady right next to me, she was like, "Geez, you need to tone it down. You have such a loud voice." And I was like,
I'm like, excuse me.
That's just me.
Use your insight.
And then, when we got the cats, I was like, "Hi, babies!" Like really loud, because I'm really loud and obnoxious when I'm home. And Fred is like, "You need to quiet down. You're gonna scare them." And I was like, "No, they have to deal with the mama's voice."
And speaking of the other man, the other room, a little bit of smooth jazz playing. My man Fred, how are you?
Hey guys, what's going on?
Oh dear.
Wow.
Wow.
Oh yeah.
Oh dear.
Oh boy.
Carrie, do you want to have our own show?
Huh?
Carrie and I should have our own show.
See, Fred, we need to have a show, Smooth Jazz, with Mike and Fred.
I think you guys could do it. You guys have the voice.
With special guest. Oh, and he's our special guest tonight, too. We have all the way over from the Guardians of the MCU podcast, the cornucopia of X-Men knowledge. John, what's going on?
Thank you, John.
I'm not doing a smooth jazz podcast.
A yacht rock.
I mean, I'm just stating that right out of the get-go.
Yeah, I was just
it's not my jam.
That.
No. You want to do a yacht rock podcast? I'm all in. Yeah.
Okay.
Wow.
I think our listeners are going to send us
we don't. We do not have the time to delve into the genre that is yacht rock music, but trust me, you'll love it. Embrace it.
At least we would finally get an email.
Hit me up in,
which brings me to this next announcement.
Hit me up in Discord. It'll take me like 2 weeks to respond.
Discord. Go to ranchout.com/community to join us in Discord. You can email us, and we'll get into all that good junk at the end of the episode, so you have to wait until the end of the episode to hear those. But in case you want to go ahead and email now, it's capechronicles@ranchout.com. All right, but wow. With all that being said, we have one more network announcement. Y'all, we are on Spotify now.
Whoop, whoop. Mazel tov.
We have hit the big times.
Big leagues.
Okay.
That's right.
Sure.
Recognize.
We have a spot in Spotify? I'm sorry.
John, welcome to Cape Chronicles.
Good night, guys.
I am drinking deep orange, natural blood orange flavored water.
Man, I thought Liz's jokes were bad. Time.
I'm drinking. I have a 40-ounce flask of water.
Love you, Liz.
Do you know it? And John, welcome to Cape Chronicles. Really, we're glad to have you here tonight with us. You were on the last couple X-Men movies as well, weren't you?
Yes.
This is becoming.
Thank
habit.
You.
We should keep this habit. We should keep this habit going when you know the next.
I did. This rounds out the original. X-Men movies.
Yeah.
See, the funny thing was, I think when you guys started, I signed up for the first X-Men movie, and Mike was like, great, all the X-Men movie, John, got it.
His will.
Including Dark Phoenix.
Including, I still haven't seen that hot mess.
And I was like, okay. I guess I did all of them.
Probably, maybe that'll be the first time we see it.
You would be both.
Yeah.
I mean.
So, with all that being said, let's.
I mean,
go ahead
maybe by the time you guys get to that, I'll have seen it.
X-Men: The Last Stand from 2006. Carrie, why don't you tell us a little bit about the movie?
Okay, the human government develops a cure for mutations, and Jean Grey becomes a darker, uncontrollable persona called the Phoenix, who allies with Magneto, causing escalation into all-out battle for the X-Men.
Boy, that sounds great.
Like yeah, that sounds like a really nice, lighthearted movie, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Andrea, why don't you tell us a little bit about some box office information here?
Yes, my dude. So, box office. Distributor was Fox. The runtime was 1 hour and 44 minutes. It was rated PG-13. It was released on May 26, 2006. And the budget was $210 million. The opening weekend domestic was $102.7 million. Lifetime domestic was $234.3 million. Worldwide was $459.3 million, which doesn't sound too bad in terms of it. Rotten Tomato score, critics said it was 57 out of 238 reviews. And the audience score was 61% out of
1 million.
I can't. Yeah. 1 million something something reviews.
That's
I don't
want
to read numbers.
Over a million reviews.
Nice.
All right. So a couple bit of rankings for this. This movie ranks 32 out of 174 for comic book adaptation.
Adaptation,
same thing, whatever. Nerd. It ranks super. Wow.
Just because I can pronounce it correctly, I'm a nerd.
Oh. It's ranked 33 out of 137 for superhero movies. It's ranked 3rd out of 12 for the X-Men series. 23 out of 59 for Marvel comic movies. It's ranked 7 out of 414 for 2006 worldwide gross. All-time worldwide gross, it's ranked 242 out of 789, but there's nothing lower than 200 million on the ranking list. All-time domestic, it's ranked 144 out of over 16,000.
That's not bad.
Movies. That's actually not bad.
It's really not. As far as movie competition goes, this movie's competition around it, it's always interesting to see what came out around it and on the same week. 1 week before this movie came out, Over the Hedge and The Da Vinci Code came out.
The Da Vinci Code was good.
It was.
Do y'all remember Over the Hedge?
No.
Don't
yeah.
even.
Yeah.
No.
No.
Yeah.
I remember one hearing week, about Over the Hedge. I never saw it.
I sure hope you got those Cheetos. 1 week after this movie came out, The Breakup came out. Do y'all remember that one with Vince Vaughn?
No.
Breaks up with the girl and still he still lives in the same house with her?
No.
Oh gosh.
Hello.
Nope.
Hello. No.
Yeah.
I remember the movie, John.
Hello, it's Jennifer Aniston.
Oh,
the waxing
oh,
scene.
Is there something you want to tell me?
Nothing.
And Fred, admit it. You remember
out.
It. It's
Cars
cool.
Came out. The
Andrea won't care.
A good okay. movie.
And the remake for The Omen?
And the remake for The Omen came out in 2006.
Wow.
A couple of awards and nominations. The Academy of Science Fiction, Fantasy, and Horror Films, the winner for Best Supporting Actress was Famke Janssen. The Golden Schmoes Award was the winner for the biggest disappointment of the year.
Dear.
Damn.
The Stinker's Bad Movie Awards, the nominee for the most annoying female accent was Anna Paquin for Blade Rogue.
Oh dear.
Wow. That's just cool.
Ouch.
Oh. But anyways, and so Carrie's going to do our cast and crew, so instead of when she gets to the actors, instead of like reading everybody
rough.
Again from the previous ones, she's gonna like go like really quickly until we have.
Hey,
to, like,
you're not the boss. You're not the boss of me.
So Carrie,
Mike,
you can do what you want. I really don't care. You're fired. All right, and
what? You know, we have cats in this like house, but you guys are more catty than the cats. Like, I don't know what's in your drinks over there in the States, but jeez,
it's just water.
Just water.
Yeah,
just water.
That's some fire water.
So, Carrie, why don't you tell us a little bit about the cast and crew for this movie?
Okay, so director of this movie was Brett Ratner. He did the Rush Hour movies. He did Red Dragon. And according to Mike, he did Hercules in 2004, but it's actually 2014. That's the one with The Rock. He was also a producer on Prison Break.
Yes, good show. If you've never seen that show, you need to watch it.
And apparently he has issues now, but that's okay for this movie. Actors, returning actors, we have Hugh Jackman as Wolverine, Patrick Stewart as Professor X, Ian McKellen as Magneto, Famke Janssen as Jean Grey, James Marsden as Cyclops, Halle Berry as Storm, Anna Paquin as Rogue. Holdover from last recording. Rebecca Romijn Stamos as Mystique, Aaron Ashford as Iceman, Aaron Ashmore as Iceman, and Sean Ashmore as Iceman, Aaron Stanford as Pyro.
Shut up,
Mike.
I know. I gave you the easy section too.
Yeah, I know. I mixed a couple of names up. Sorry. Okay.
It's okay.
Additions to the cast: Kelsey Grammer as Beast, aka Hank McCoy. He was Fraser Crane in Cheers and on Fraser. He was Stinky Pete in Toys 2, and he is the voice of Sideshow Bob on The Simpsons. Vinnie Jones as Kane Marco, aka Juggernaut. He was the Sphinx in Gone in 60 Seconds, and he is Brick on Arrow. Ellen Page as Kitty Pryde, aka Shadowcat. She was Juno McGuff in Juno. She comes back for Days of Future Past, and she's Vanya Hargraves in The Umbrella Academy. Daniel Cudmore as Peter Rasputin, aka Colossus. He was in X2, and he was Felix in The Twilight Saga. Ben Foster was Warren Worthington, aka Angel. He was Spacker Dave in The Punisher. I believe he was also in
Spacker Dave.
I believe he was also in Warcraft, but I don't remember who he was in Warcraft.
Can we also take a moment to shout out Shoray?
I was going
she
to say
is
that.
Here.
She is in that. She is in this movie, and she is awesome.
I just have a question.
Yeah.
How did they cover up all the wounds and the earring holes from Spacker Dave in this movie?
Oh, dear.
Good question.
That's a very good question, in my opinion. But, anyways, I'm sorry, Carrie. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, it's okay. It's okay. It happens frequently.
Who's our composer?
Our composer was John Powell. He did Solo, A Star Wars Story, The Bourne Series, United 93, The Green Zone, Rio, and the How to Train Your Dragon movies.
Solo, good movie. Bourne Series,
great series. Ben Foster was Medivh in Warcraft.
So, okay.
Yay.
United 93, another good movie. And Green Zone was a pretty good movie, too.
Cool.
So they're pretty good. Well, I would say The Origin of a Hero, but I think we already did this back when we did the first X movie. So let's just go ahead and dig on into this episode. I saw this movie years ago, but honestly, I don't remember when. I just remember by the time I saw it, I thought Ellen Page was pretty hot. That's all I really remembered about the movie.
I never found her attractive.
I'm weird.
I thought Anna Paquin? Is that her name?
Anna Paquin?
I think that she's much more attractive.
I think if we're going to get into attractiveness, I mean, Halle Berry looks really good in this movie, too.
Oh, she's a hottie. Yeah, she's a hottie.
Well,
I mean Catwoman was great in this movie.
No, it really wasn't. Halle Berry grew on me as Storm. I think I said this in the first couple of movies. I believe it was Chris Claremont who referred to her as Mini Storm because she is tiny, and Storm is supposed to be, you know, this big statuesque woman. I mean, they were talking about, you know, casting Angela Bassett as Storm. I was like, there, that is Storm right there. And
I wish
and she would have
kept her long hair, though.
Yeah, me too.
I liked her short hair in this movie.
Or I could have seen her doing the mohawk from the 80s.
Yeah, that would have been cool.
I did see this in the theater when it came out, and I know I've seen it several times since, but not recently until tonight.
Ooh, yeah.
All right. Andrea, how about you?
I think that my family and I watched it when it came on DVD. I don't think I ever watched in the theaters. I mean, if I am in the mood to watch X-Men, I'll watch it all. Is it my favorite?
Okay. Not at all. Fred, what about you, man?
I remember watching it in the theater when it first came out. I'm trying to recall if I've seen it since then. I want to say yes, but I really can't remember.
Yeah, it's the kind of thing where if it was on cable, I would stop to watch it, and that was pretty much it.
Yeah.
I think I watched it when I got it on DVD, I haven't seen it since until tonight.
All right. Hey, John, how about you, man? When did you see this movie? What, you know, how long ago was it and all that kind of thing?
So I actually did see it in the theater when it first came out, and I was disappointed by it then, and I haven't seen it since I watched it last night, and it didn't grow on me at all.
Pros and cons and the story, stuff like that. So most people don't like this movie. Is it the people that grew up with the X-Men comics and the X-Men, the animated series, that don't like this, or what? Because I'm really trying to figure it out, because I thought it was okay. It had some choppy, like, okay, why did it take that long to get there? But I didn't think the movie was terrible, as a lot of people say it is. So what made it so bad?
John?
I was going to say, how much time do we have? The biggest things that hit on me,
yeah,
you know, both from what I remember seeing it the first time and rewatching it again, the death of Scott and Cyclops really early on. It's a huge deviation from the comics. Two, didn't really seem all that necessary.
Which is a valid
for the movie
to otherwise just not cast him. I remember being disappointed that they killed him off just because I was really hoping for at least one shot of all five original X-Men on screen at the same time.
Yeah,
right.
I was really disappointed.
Killing Scott off at the beginning of the movie just, you know, killed that entire...
I was just really disappointed that his death was pointless. It was supposed to be used as a catalyst to turn G into the Dark Phoenix or whatnot, but it really didn't. Like, not until later.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it could have been used that he... Even if they couldn't get him because he was working on Superman Returns, it could have been that they said... Okay, so Scott ended up leaving the school right now. He's traveling around the world or something right now, trying to really just work some things out with Gene.
Find himself again, like Logan did.
They just kind of wrote him off that way. They could have brought him back to the end and not for the beginning, I think.
I would have preferred that.
and maybe have him be the one to, like, knock out Gene in the
end. And he dies in the end. That, I think, would have been
they could have killed each other.
Yeah,
instead,
that would have been actually
Logan
very
killing,
interesting.
Killing Gene. I will say, the best part of this movie is the casting of Kelsey Grammer as Beast. As soon as I heard that announcement, I immediately heard "Oh My Stars and Garters" in his voice, and as like everything, the voice was perfect, and like that is like the best casting ever.
No, I completely agree. I think he was a great
pickup.
That's
best casting since Professor X and Magneto. So. I was really happy with him. I was actually even happy with Ellen Page as Kitty Pryde.
And I thought that was good. And Carrie, interesting that you bring that up. For some reason, and I remember seeing, like, that's how I felt the first time too. For some reason, the casting of Magneto, like, and I get it, he's been, you know, in the other movies, and it's no slight against him as an actor.
I did not like him as Magneto in this one as in previous movies.
I don't know what it was about this one versus the other ones.
So, I mean, it's no slight against Ian McKellen. Ian McKellen is phenomenal. He is fabulous. I love him. I thought the way he just kind of up and left Mystique after she got the cure was really sucky, for lack of ability to swear.
Well, I didn't have an issue with that because that did, as you said, John, felt like Magneto. I had the issue in that story,
but that's
like,
pure Magneto.
She was on the truck, and then the scene cut away, and then like 20 minutes later, they come back to that scene. That's where I was like, okay, that's really late for them to come back to the truck to break her out. Why would they even show her 20 minutes earlier in the film inside the truck as a captor, and then 20 minutes later they come back and to rescue her.
Just to illustrate how long they've been on the road, I think.
Right, and then you don't see her again until she's like, until she's signing everything over and telling everything about it. It seems to me the place she would have gone would have been to Xavier's mansion.
That's true.
That seems to me where she would have gone, because she knew Logan would be there, and she knew Storm would be there, so she knew if she was going to have anybody to help them take down Magneto, why not go to the X-Men? Why do you go to, you know,
to the government? Yeah, that
right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that did make a whole lot of sense, except with the hindsight of the subsequent movies. I mean, if you take the next round of movies into account, it makes a little more sense. But since we don't have those movies to go off of when Last Stand was made, you're right. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
I think in this movie, Magneto didn't have that same sense of arrogance and like supreme magnanimous. Like, he was afraid of Gene.
Yeah,
which was really weird. So I wanted to see him like be the villain. Now,
right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So,
well, that's always been one of my complaints, that I've never throughout all of these series felt that he was the villain. And there was an interesting point, and I brought this up. Why I didn't like him the villain in the first one is because they didn't make him powerful, and he needed Rogue to power the machine because he was kind of in a way washed up. But then they make a comment. I think it's Callisto that makes the comment. Someone's like, you know, we've detected a mutant,
but then,
who's
but then
stronger than you. You know, it's like, yeah, well, in the first one you made him not so strong, so that's what, like a B-level mutant,
with that, John. And I knew that scene was taken out of the comics, and I liked it for what it was. I don't know enough about where it came out of the comics to know what the issues were with that particular scene, other than what you were saying about how he was not powerful enough to do what he needed to do in the first X-Men movie, but now he's powerful enough to, you know, move an entire bridge.
Well, I've got a question, so maybe y'all will have more knowledge on this than me. In the comics or in the series or anywhere else like that, does it describe mutants as different class levels?
Yes.
Okay.
I really was just curious if that was something that they made up for this movie, just to show how powerful Jean was, or if it was actually in the comics that, you know, this is a level 5 mutant.
That's what...
Okay.
It's interesting, because that's something that Fred and I were talking about, and Fred was like, yeah, they just wanted to name them.
No, well, they actually just re-ranked them.
Yeah, category 5, it's coming, like, be careful. But yeah, I thought the same way, Mike. I thought, I was like, oh, did they just, like, make these random ranks now that they need it? Why wasn't this explained before?
One thing I really did like about it, though, is this movie, is I really did like the dynamic between Storm and Wolverine. I thought it was a very good brother-sister vibe to it throughout this whole movie, and I really liked the way they played off each other's characters in this movie.
Mm-hmm. Although Storm is wrong, we can be students forever under the right circumstances.
Of course.
I have never and will never accept the love triangle between Wolverine, Cyclops, and Jean. I hate it, never liked it. The fact that Cyclops dies and Wolverine still wants to get into Jean's pants, that medical scene...
I'm sorry. Someone used their psychic powers to take his dog.
I like that medical scene.
Not at first he wouldn't.
Not at first, but I mean... Eventually, he's like, okay, no, this is wrong. Where's Scott?
And he too.
This is really screwed up. You know, I've never been a huge fan of the love triangle, but I understand that it's enough of a staple in the X-Men universe to be, if not okay with it, then to just accept that that's what they're going to go with.
Okay. Go ahead.
I have a question for you. In what hospital bed does somebody like get put down in short shorts, a low-cut shirt, perfect hair, perfect makeup? like, I'm not complaining. She's got really good insurance, but...
It's not even insurance. She's the mansion is takes care of everyone. School takes care of everyone.
Blanket?
Apparently not.
All right.
Well, she did when Professor X was in there. At first, when he was trying to help her mind.
So somebody should go to HR.
And apparently.
Professor X was HR, and we all know what happened to him.
Boom. Anyways.
Spoiler.
Come on.
It's never... So I asked this question in Discord, and I also posted it on the Random Chatter Twitter. If you knew there was a cure and you were a mutant, would you take it?
Depends on my powers.
I think it depends on what the mutation was. If I get teleportation, I am abusing the crap out of that.
I agree.
I no longer have to drive anywhere.
It depends on the power.
I could be done with all this commuting BS.
Carrie. Yes. So, I read a really good quote not too long ago. If we knew how to fly or could fly, we would consider it exercise and not do it anyway.
That's true.
That's funny.
But it all depends. Like, Rogue, she wants to get rid of her power because she wants to feel the touch of someone, right? Like, that... I can sympathize with what she's going through. Like, I feel bad for her in that regard, but... She's ultimately powerful.
Yeah.
And we learn about this cure that it's never a choice to take the cure. They always put it out there in shows. It's a choice. But it's never a choice. It's eventually going to get, as Magneto said, it's going to get weaponized.
And it does get weaponized, which is why Beast resigns from the government. By the way, just as a side note, why isn't Leech green? Leech is supposed to be green.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe because they already had Toad and he was green? People wouldn't want to confuse.
I could have swore I saw Toad again in the church.
Yeah, me too.
The guy that was crawling on the ceiling.
Yeah, apparently he survived being electrocuted by storm.
Impossible.
It is nice to see we finally get the war room after three movies.
Yes, and I love Wolverine in the war room. I don't care if he was doing it wrong. That was it's like that. That's just yeah. Plus,
well, they're foreshadowing.
Plus, he got to be tossed like a dwarf.
Yeah,
twice. That's right.
Awesome.
Does anybody else cringe when they see the opening scene with the little kid Warren cutting off his wings?
That's really fastball special.
So heartbreaking.
We watched the movie with my sister today, and she's a little bit more innocent than Andrea and I. And yeah, I felt really cringy.
Yeah, I wasn't. Mm-hmm. It's really sad.
Did anybody else notice that it was daylight when the bridge dropped, and then when they finally got off the bridge, it was dark when they attacked the lab?
It takes a long time, Mike.
He dropped the bridge, and they were right at the edge of the bridge. How did it take them
that
long?
Storm showed up.
Yeah.
It was dark before they got there. It was dark outside. They had the lights on.
I'm trying to retcon it. It's not working.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The de-aging of Xavier and Magneto at the beginning of the movie was odd.
Daylight savings?
After 2006, I thought.
No, I completely agree with that. Yeah.
Speaking of CGI, I think some of the CGI on this was really good. Like, I loved, as many issues as we had with Logan being the one to take out Jean at the end, I liked seeing the skin rip away, and you saw the adamantium.
Yeah, that was a very cool
effect. As he was walking
up,
I thought that was really cool, and then rehealing real quick as he's going back up.
Yeah,
I did like most of the final fight in this movie.
Cool.
I thought it was a really good, really good sequence. They finally let Storm fly in this movie, which was awesome.
Yeah,
the only thing I really wasn't happy with was them killing off Jean. I understood why they felt like they had to go that way, and in order to wrap up the story, but I just thought it was I thought it was too easy, as much as not easy as that final thing between her and Logan was. It was an easy way out, I thought.
See.
Yeah.
My only problem with the final scene were the odds. What is it, like five of them versus a bunch of them? They're like, hold the line. And I'm like, you're going to get so quickly overwhelmed. This fight's... Like, I don't care like who you are mutant-wise.
Well, and also none of them were
trained.
And
then you didn't see... I mean, it was a very...
You had the guy who could grow body parts back.
The mutants in Magneto's army really showed any powers in that fight. You saw...
Yeah.
Well, they still have powers.
Well, there was one body part he couldn't grow back.
like the one guy, but like other than that, it was like. But I mean, just sheer numbers.
Okay. But I understand what you're saying, Judd. But I train to deal with multiple attackers. So if someone who is trained that way can deal with more people than I get that this is a little bit getting a bit ridiculous. With you know all the people Magneto has versus what half a dozen X-Men, but with some training, like it is, if not impossible, just you know probable.
I understand, but. You're talking
especially against powers.
Looking at those odds and the numbers of the waves, you're talking 10 to 15 on one. I'm sorry, you're not winning that fight.
True.
So, I like the fact that
trained or not trained,
Magneto had
eventually
a strategy
people are
going
to
the
you know
facility,
it's physics
first.
And tackling someone and taking.
Mm-hmm. I actually thought that was like a really like you. He's a douche. Like.
Of course, that is keeping in character for the entire trilogy. Is you know he doesn't do for himself if he can send other people to go and die for him.
Yep.
So was that guy that Logan was fighting in the woods with the spikes, was that supposed to be Spike?
I don't remember. Maybe.
Okay.
I think that's who he's listed as. I actually, as we were going on, I was actually looking on.
Wow.
IMDb,
I think it's a different Spike,
the
though.
The mutants that are listed. Because
yeah.
I wanted to see. So, yeah, he's listed as Spike.
Mm-hmm.
The other ones that jumped out at me. But, I mean, I agree. But,
yeah,
like,
multiple man. I think
Jubilee's
in
there. There's that. Psylocke's in there.
The only thing I had issues with was, really? Briggy and Juggernaut, and I realized that they probably
multiple
didn't
man
have
was in
the
there,
time.
Yeah.
But Briggy and Juggernaut not, and not making any mention that he's Xavier's half-brother or step-brother was odd. Because you would think that Magneto would remember something like that.
Well, I mean, if you want to go that way, you can also say, like, oh, why didn't Sabretooth remember that Logan is his brother?
That's yeah. true, too.
So, and I love Wolverine, but...
I'm looking for where Jubilee was at in the movie.
I think she was in one of the classrooms.
I wonder if the guy who got the role of Lawnmower Man really thought he was going to be pushing a lawnmower, or if he was going to be something more than that.
Lawnmower Man was Chris Claremont.
Yeah.
That was the guy who wrote the original Dark Phoenix.
That's awesome.
Storyline.
Funny. Lawnmower Man.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, Stan Lee was water.
I mean, it was
man.
A toss-up yeah. between yep. him and Stan Lee on who was going to push the lawnmower
anything
and who
else?
Was going to water the flowers. Yes. I mean, this is true for all of the movies, pretty much. The costumes, the uniforms, whatever you want to call them, you know, they were pretty consistent with, and I forget when they came out, but it was the new X-Men title, the black yeah. leather, the Exocross.
They did.
I hated them. I will hate
well,
all of them.
Beast had blue skin and blue fur, and he put the jacket on it, which it had some yellow in it, so it was blue and yellow.
Costumes, uniforms, just... please, just once. When? It's close. It was. That's it. You know what? Beast was about as close as we
yeah,
got.
Yeah, they did.
I want to see Wolverine with the mask. In, like, in I just the and they Wolverine teased it movie. In one
no,
of the.
No, they teased it in X
Men movie.
No, they teased it in X 2.
No, that was a deleted scene.
It was,
that was a deleted
it was the
scene
guy,
where they had the
Pyro
mask
in
and the gloves.
When they were on the plane.
That was a deleted, but
oh,
it's
right.
out there. Yeah, it was
and
one of them where like they
something
showed
about
like the costumes, yeah.
You know, the colors or whatever, and somebody said something like, "What, you went blue and yellow or something like that?"
Yeah, I think it was Logan was.
I think it was Logan. He
okay.
said, "What, you wanted a yellow jumpsuit or something?"
No,
like that
was the first movie there when Cyclops was like, "What would you prefer, yellow spandex?"
Right.
Oh,
there
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or like spandex
I like
or something.
I like the Kitty Pryde and Juggernaut "quote unquote" fight.
Just, hey, beep head.
it's just every that. That's the only thing I remember about that fight. It's yep. just funny to me. It's she outsmarted this guy. I thought it was pretty cool.
It's in character, which I like.
Which was yeah that was awesome.
I did like the way that she had grabbed his ankles as he was running
uh-huh.
and then made him go down into the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was
cool.
That
was pretty cool. And then she did that with Bobby, and he goes back and says, "Oh, please never do that again."
Yeah.
And then we had the other love triangle between Bobby, Kitty, and...
That wasn't really a love triangle, though. It
okay.
was... Bobby and Kitty were friends.
But Rogue thought it was a love triangle.
Yeah.
They're trying to make it seem like it. Again, well, I don't like it.
Well, okay, I don't care quite so much because I'm not really a one Drew Perry type of person most of the time, but the only person Rogue belongs with is Gambit. So the whole Rogue Iceman thing has always been kind of weird.
I used to have the biggest crush on Bobby, so
you saw that coming.
Excuse me.
What?
I'll go beat him up.
Oh, baby, you're the only one for me.
You be the
only one I see.
Oh dear God.
Oh dear. So, change the subject. When Xavier is being lifted up by Jean and Magneto's there and he's watching, does anybody else get like really disappointed Jesus. He doesn't do anything about it? Like, I think he would have jumped in to save his best friend.
Yeah, me too. I mean, I realize that Eric and Charles have had, you know, this adversarial relationship, but they were still friends.
But it's all about self-preservation at that point.
That's true.
He was scared of her.
That's true.
Oh, heck yeah.
Yes.
That's true.
Yes.
And as I said before, you know, Magneto doesn't put himself in harm's way if he doesn't have to.
Exactly.
Well, and he needed her.
But yeah, that was the one point that it seemed almost out of character for him to not try to help Charles. Although the end credits scene, you know, we see that Charles is kind of sort of still alive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whoa, spoiler.
Mike didn't see the end credits scene for this movie either, I'm guessing.
Fred didn't. It's at the very, very, very end.
I knew it was there. I mean, it's about him transferring his subconscious
into the hospital bed from the beginning of the movie.
Yeah,
which is how I square the idea of him coming back for Days of Future Past. But
Yeah, that was actually one of the things I wanted to talk about when I watched
it. Oh. Well, anything else that you guys really liked or kind of bothered you about this movie?
It was just so dark.
Really?
Yeah.
I have a couple things. One, I was happy to see Logan, like, kind of going ham and doing what Logan does. I really enjoyed that part. But on Jean's side, I was really expecting to see more from her character. She just kind of was an accessory throughout most of the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, she did.
Yeah, I mean, at the very end of X2, you see the Phoenix under the lake, and you never actually get the full Phoenix effect from her in this movie. You have to wait until Apocalypse, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. Boy, Dark Phoenix was a good movie.
You haven't seen Dark Phoenix.
That's why it was such a good movie. I haven't seen it yet. I'll be thinking to spoil
it.
You're
such a liar.
Oh.
Oh, dear.
All right. Well, I liked the idea of Storm taking over after Charles. I think she was a good choice to take over the school.
Yeah.
So I thought that was a good ploy. It's almost as if when you were, of course, we knew what would happen. We're watching it already, but it's almost as if he kind of knew that, hey, I'm going to be gone here soon.
Yeah.
And I need somebody to kind of really step in here.
I think Storm.
Well, and fantastic. I mean, it follows the pattern of, at least, you know, the animated series, at least the two bigger ones, Evolution and the 90s one, where, you know, Storm is one of the head instructors. Storm is one of the leaders.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
John, anything else from you, man?
Yep.
It's still a lot better than the next movie we're going to watch.
No, I mean, I think we've covered most of it. I mean...
Superman Returns.
I think what I said kind of from the beginning. I'm waiting... Which is... Oh, yeah, no.
Yeah.
It's better than Superman Returns. But, I mean, I feel like this one was missing a bullet smashing into somebody's eye.
We have one of those moments in Joker movie, maybe.
Oh, dear.
I mean, that was a great Superman Return.
Jeez, Mike!
I didn't spoil it.
Why
said
are you spoiling
it,
the movie?
We may have one of... I said we may have one of those in Joker movie, maybe. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
No spoilers.
There's a lot
You've
going on in that
movie. You've
seen the
bloody movie, dude.
I have seen a movie,
how
but there was a lot going
we,
on in that movie.
How do we know you're not talking... How do we know you're not BSing us?
Hey, you don't. But it's the Joker, for goodness sake. Somebody's getting a bullet.
That's true. Good point.
I mean...
Wow, you tamed her easily. She was about to karate chop your butt. Oh, I saved myself there.
I may still do that.
Yep. All right. Well, John, since we want you to be a part of it with us tonight... There are some goofs and plot holes in this movie. Would you like to read this list for us?
Sure. So when it comes to the goofs, well, let's see. Now, technical errors. All right. So, character errors. At about the 35-minute mark, when Magneto hijacks the Trigon transport, Pyro reads multiple man's cell number as 410 or 41205, but the number is visible as...
He didn't graduate.
41209. So, you know,
ooh.
You know, Pyro likes to, you know, change things up a little bit. Though I would... I would like to know who's in that other cell. So at around the 1 hour, 3 minute mark, when Rogue is standing in line to receive the cure, she looks over to read the picket signs that the group of mutants are holding up at the sign.
Oh.
One of the signs, instead of
whoopsies.
Saying, say no to the cure, clearly reads,
cure.
The cure is awesome.
Say to know the cure. No, yeah, but I like the cure, not the cure in the movie, but the band The Cure. Yeah. In X2, Colossus turns when he turns metal, leaving his hair out. But in this movie, he's showing his entire body.
I mean,
body,
I think his hair is a different color, different
including
shade
his hair
of metal
turns into iron.
In some versions,
I think that is actually more consistent with the comics.
Colossus, but yeah, he's still all metal.
When Mystique is hit with a and then when Mystique is hit with the cure, her hair turns dark, black, but in previous movies we've seen it as blonde. But I want to say, again, more comic-esque, it's supposed to be black. You know, but... kind of a minor thing there. So in terms of some of the continuity, at around the 45-minute mark, when Professor Xavier and Magneto enter Jean's old house and find her sitting on a chair, items in the room are levitated around her. When the items drop, the bookcase over her right shoulder hits the ground and all the books fall off. The lamp on top remains on the bookshelf.
Oh, yeah.
No trace
shot,
of him
the
there.
Books are back on the bookcase and the lamp is on the floor. I mean, that's easy. You know, they, you know, Xavier just moved them back up. I'm sure that's what it was. At the final battle, when the X-Men are lined up, line moment, Wolverine is too far forward from the light pole to just swinging back and cut it. Yeah, I thought that was actually a pretty big move there. So it falls to the ground, attacking the mutants. When the pole is falling down, the lights are still on, even though the power line should have been cut through.
Wow.
Oops.
Then as Wolverine is fighting off
Magneto,
the
Magneto fixed it.
Light behind him still up. That's a pretty powerful light pole.
Yeah. Dark and violent.
It was so dark.
Well, you can't have a dark fight. I mean, Andrea already thought the movie was too dark. My mouse is going a little bit crazy at the moment. As Wolverine approaches Magnifight and is stabbed in the stomach with two bone knives, his stomach heals, leaving two holes in his shirt. In future scenes, the holes in his shirt are gone. That's because he has a magical shirt as well. Yeah. The Golden Gate Bridge is 1,280 meters from pylon to pylon. Alcatraz is 2,400. Who? You Canadians with meters. Why can't we have miles and feet?
All right.
Alcatraz is 2,400 meters from land. Some behind the scenes. The Golden Gate Bridge seems to connect Alcatraz to San Francisco.
Okay, number one, Stan Lee. Rest in peace. Stan Lee sighting. Stan Lee and Chris Claremont. At around the two-minute mark, the X-Men creator, longtime X-Men writer, appear in the opening scene as neighbors of Jean Grey. They are credited as Water Hose Man and Lawnmower Man, as we spoke about earlier. Next, in a 2009 interview, Bryan Singer admitted that he regretted declining to direct this movie in favor of Superman Returns.
Yeah, that was a bad call.
Yep.
Confessing that he realized his mistake before I was watching the X-Men movie, during watching it and after watching it.
Wow.
Ouch.
Nightcrawler was going to make a cameo appearance in the movie. Alan Cumming, who played the Nightcrawler in X2, X-Men United, was going to reprise the role despite his discomfort with the prosthetic makeup he had to wear for his role. The cameo was so short, however, that the filmmakers felt the long time and costly makeup process was not worthwhile, so he was omitted from the movie. The video game, X-Men, the official game, explains that Nightcrawler left the X-Men because he didn't appreciate their life of action and violence.
And that actually is keeping with some of the character, with some versions of the Nightcrawler character, I think.
Okay.
Although, in other versions of the character, he's more of a swashbuckler anyway, so, I mean, yeah, comics. Weird.
I've missed Gambit in this whole series.
I do,
another
too.
Side topic.
Yep.
According to visual effects supervisor John Bruno, about $35 million, one-sixth of the budget, was spent on the Golden Gate sequence. This included constructing a full-scale section of the bridge that was about the size of a basketball court, 94 feet, and then using computer graphic imagery on the rest of the bridge and its background.
That did, that was a cool shot. I will admit that.
It seemed really, really overkill. Like, why couldn't he just, you know, pick everybody up in a bus and just carry the bus across the water?
It didn't make enough of a statement.
Fair enough. As all the actors and actresses had only signed for two movies, new contracts had to be brokered for all of them. I mean, if you're going to write a trilogy, why not sign them for three?
Maybe they didn't realize they were going to do the third one.
Fair. Magneto's final scene in the park with the chessboard was actually shot in London as Ian McKellen was appearing in a play there at that time.
Oh, cool.
Cyclops appeared in the movie for a total of 4 minutes and 40 seconds, while James Marsden was unavailable due to filming Superman Returns at the same time as the movie. 20th Century Fox always planned to have Jean Grey kill off Cyclops in the movie. Zach Penn talked about the lack of Cyclops in the movie on the message boards of the now closed website, the X-Verse, in which he participated in Q&A with the fans, and could only say to the fans that the movie was being made that if they expected to see more Cyclops, they were going to be disappointed. Penn would later say, after the movie's release, that he and co-writer Simon Kinberg fought with Fox not to kill Cyclops, but the studio insisted the character die to have more emotional impact. The decision to kill off Cyclops received heavy backlash from fans and moviegoers, and the fans still debate whether the character actually even died, since his death wasn't shown on screen, and neither Storm nor Wolverine bothered to search for him when they find Jean alone at Alkali Lake.
That's actually a very good point.
It is a very good point, because comic books and soap operas, you know, if you don't see a body, the character's not dead.
Yeah.
Even sometimes even when you do see a body, characters not actually dead. And, like, Cyclops went a long time without actually being killed off anywhere. I think they killed him off at least once in, like, the last decade or so. I don't remember when.
But I also don't feel like it was a very emotional...
I don't exactly. think so. I think they made a mistake.
No, it wasn't.
It was a very big mistake.
When Bryan Singer dropped out of production, Hugh Jackman recommended Darren Aronofsky to replace him. Yeah, thank you. Having worked with him in The Fountain. Josh Whedon turned it down to work on Wonder Woman movie. Ironically, his X-Men comic Gifted would inspire the final movie's plot. Rob Bowman and Alex Prius were considered for the job. Zack Snyder was approached, but he was committed to 300. Peter Berg was approached, but turned down the job. Matthew Vaughn was hired in March 2005, but with a release date set in May of 2006, he realized he could not put together a good movie in such short time and left.
Wow.
Finally, the final two candidates to direct came down to either John Moore or Brett Ratner. Eventually, Ratner, who had experience of making successful movies out of Rush Productions, as seen with Rush Hour, was hired.
Zack Snyder.
Interesting.
Interesting.
Release the Snyder Cut. Shut up, people.
When Bryan Singer was going to direct, and he and his writers, Dan Harris and Michael wrote a treatment solely based on the X-Men storyline, the Dark Phoenix saga, deceased Jean Grey's return with a new, more destructive personality called the Phoenix. She would be manipulated into joining the Hellfire Club by their telepathic leader, Emma Frost. A three-way battle occurs between the club, who want to take over the world, the X-Men, who want to save their comrade, and Magneto's Brotherhood, who want the Phoenix for their own plans. At the end, to save everyone, Jean kills herself, but her spirit lives on and transcends into a divine being.
You know what? That is actually something I remember us my coworkers and I talking about when this movie was released. And I unfortunately don't know the comics well enough, but from what I understand in the comics, I mean they kind of missed an opportunity to have the Fantastic Four crossover. Because I believe in the comics, Mr. Fantastic is the one who finds Jean.
Oh,
interesting.
When she shows up as the Phoenix.
See, and I think this may have been one of the few times where, like, a three-way, you know, wasn't necessarily a love triangle, but this one might have worked.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially the notes here say that Sigourney Weaver was intended to play Emma Frost, which would have been amazing.
Yep.
Anyway, continue. Sorry.
Some casting news. Summer Glau was auditioned for the role of Kitty Pryde.
That would have been cool.
Maggie Grace was originally cast as Kitty Pryde, but the filmmakers discovered she was too old for the role.
She wouldn't have fit, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jason Fleming was considered to play Beast.
No. I agree with Carrie. Kelsey Grammer was perfect for that.
Yeah, he did so great. Singer wanted Keanu Reeves to play Gambit.
That could have worked.
I don't know
that he could have pulled off the Cajun accent, though. I'm just saying that from having experienced his very bad British accent in Dracula.
I don't think he would have been as good as the next guy Fred's about to leave.
Yeah,
I'm pretty biased on that.
I think you're right. I think that would have been a much better choice.
And lastly, Josh Holloway was offered the role of Gambit, but turned it down as it was too similar to the role he was then playing on Lost.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was...
Well, he was rumored for Gambit for a long time.
Yeah.
I think he would have been great as Gambit. As Gambit.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
I think he would still be really good as Gambit if they did it, because I've seen him. His most recent show was
Colony?
The Colony.
Yeah.
It's a really good show. He did phenomenal. I wanted to rip something out the wall when I heard that they canceled that show.
Same.
So, well, thank you, Fred, for reading. That was a lot for that one. I appreciate you reading all that. So we're going to go ahead and rate this movie now. So every time we have a rating system, we try to do 1 out of 10 something. So we don't know exactly which one we're going to go with yet. Belts getting ripped off is a good one, I guess. I don't know.
Oh,
1 out of 10 belts. Or 1 out of 10 exploding Professor X's.
Damn.
Wow. That's just sad.
Or 1 out of 10 overly sexualized Jean Greys. So I'm going to let everybody in here decide which one do they want. 1 out of 10 exploding Professor X's, overly sexualized Jean Greys, or 1 out of 10 belts getting ripped off. So we're going to start with Andrea. How do you rate this movie?
I'm going to say 5.5 out of 10 exploding Professor X.
All right. Fred, what about you, man?
This is a tough one. I'm going to go 6.5.
Wow. All right.
Yeah, for as bad as it was, it's still really watchable. I enjoyed it. The time went by pretty quick. And, yeah, it has a lot of things that could be better, but I still enjoyed it the same. It's definitely not a 7, though. And I'm going to say it's 6.5 overly sexualized Jean Grey's lying on a bed.
Lying on a bed. Wow. Carrie, how about you?
I'm going to go with a 6. It's not the best movie in the world, but I don't hate it. 6 exploding Professor X's.
All right. John, how about you?
I'm going to be a little bit harsher. I'm going to go with 4 exploding Professor X's. I mean, it of the original X-Men movie, it was not my favorite and remains not my favorite.
Out of these three, John, which one did you like the best?
Second one.
I think I liked X2. Yeah. I think X2 the best.
I agree. It's my favorite.
I felt it was the most complete story.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And everything, so it was good. As far as I rate this movie, I'm going to give it a 5 out of 10, since Leo said it, belts getting ripped off by a psychic mind. So I give it 5. It's kind of floating right there. Like, I kind of enjoyed it, but I was kind of like, okay, there's definitely some issues. But anyways, with all that being said, we don't have any feedback. We don't have any reviews. You could do that in Andrew Battelle's How here in just a second. But before we get to that, our next movie, we've already mentioned it a couple of times. In 2 weeks, we're going to talk about Superman Returns from 2006. And Superman can return back to where he came from. I have this movie on my movie shelf, and it has never been opened because I've seen it without it.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, dear.
And I never bother reopening. And then after that, us staying in 2006, we're going to talk about the movie Zoom.
Oh, boy. I don't think I've ever seen that.
I don't even know what that is.
Zoom. Make my heart go boom, boom.
No.
Is that the Zoom song?
I've never.
So all you want to do is put your zoom, zoom, zoom.
It is late. I'm really tired. I was just singing.
They were trying to keep this family friendly. I don't think that qualifies.
I'm surprised Andrea didn't know that movie.
No. The only thing that's coming to my mind when you started saying zoom, zoom, zoom was that song that goes like, boom, 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 boom. I want you in my room to spend the night together now and forever. Have you never heard that song before?
You guys do a lot of singing on this
podcast. Yeah.
That song is like a classic. Anyways.
Oh.
Andre, I know that song.
Oh, yay!
But we just have
to
have
keep
fun.
Him, guys.
But, John, we had to have fun.
I mean, I feel like you can have fun. I mean, I'm a horrible singer, so...
Oh, I am, too.
We are too. But
we
Fred
let it go, let it go.
If you want to hear... If you want to tell us how bad...
Are you guys covering Frozen?
I don't think so.
I mean, it's kind of a superhero.
No.
I mean, she is a mutant.
I won't... Tim won't have to fire me anymore. I will straight up resign if I have to cover Frozen.
Mike?
Yes.
Zoom has a 3 on Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh, gosh.
It's
going
to be great.
I don't want to.
I'm busy that weekend.
Yeah, me too.
I forgot what we watch after Zoom.
Lacking the punch and good cheer of The Incredibles and Sky High, Zoom is a dull and laugh-free affair.
A dull and laugh-free affair.
Wow.
Fred! That's Thanksgiving!
Oh, it's Canadian Thanksgiving.
Oh, no, no, we still can do it. Damn it!
I know.
We're gonna figure that one out.
We'll figure it out.
Did you guys steal another holiday from us?
Yeah.
No, we just fast-forwarded it because it gets dark up here faster.
Oh, that's funny. No, after Zoom, we're going to have Tim on in 3 episodes from now. We're going to talk about Ghost Rider.
Oh, fun.
Oh,
that's fun.
So that'll be a good one.
I feel sorry for you guys.
I've never seen Ghost Rider.
Oh, dear.
I have.
The pattern is full.
I've seen both of them.
But if you want to tell us if you've seen Ghost Rider or what Zoom, Zoom, Zoom comes from, you know, make my heart go boom, boom, you could do that how, Andrea?
You can do that by going to Caped Chronicle. Oh, actually, not going. Emailing us at CapedChronicles@randomchatter.com. You can send us your feedback. If you want to hear us sing more, we can definitely do that. You can also find us on Twitter at Random Chatter or at Caped Chronicles. You can find me at Cats Bears. That's KatzBearz. Carrie, where can they find you?
You can find me at Carrie Blackfire 42. That's K-E-R-I Blackfire 42.
Brad, where can they find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Freddy Juan Kenobi. That's FreddyWon. Kenobi.
And Mike.
We'll do some smooth jazz.
I know. Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Wow.
You can find me at the DC Fanboy. That's at the DC _ Fanboy.
And our special guest, John, where can they find you?
Not on Twitter.
You didn't know this?
Deception. Disgrace. That's from The Lion King, too. I'm sorry.
Never seen it.
I do not.
I'm sorry, go ahead, John.
I don't do the tweeting.
But he does.
I was going to say something, but it would have been very, very not child-friendly, and Eric would have taught it to me. So, where can they find you, John? On
but
Discord?
You can find me on Discord. You can also find me on Instagram at _ John Stewart.
And what other shows can we find you on, John?
On Guardians of the MCU.
Awesome. Yay. Another great show to listen to.
Where eventually we'll cover the X-Men because they will be part of the MCU.
Sweet. Yay. And Spider-Man now is back in the, and so, you know, Spider-Man had to have a break for the Sony Spider-Verse. You weren't allowed to talk about it
anymore.
But now you can.
We actually deleted it off the show notes and then Tim put it back on.
That's funny.
Wow. That's awesome.
That's hysterical.
That's funny.
We were out and then they brought us back in. I'm sure we will be talking about Tom Holland's involvement in brokering that deal tomorrow night when we record.
Sweet.
All right. You can also find all our shows at randomchatter.com. There is obviously Cape Chronicles, which is us. You can also go and see some fabulous DC action at DC Talk. There's a couple of shows for Star Wars and other fun things to tickle your fancy. You can also spread the word and support us. Mike's face. That is the same, my dude. You can also spread the word and support us.
Don't watch the video.
Leave reviews on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, and as I heard today, Spotify too. We will read it on air, and it does make us really, really, really happy to hear all your feedback and love.
And to close us out, the music you hear in this podcast is High Roller Mojo by Blue Stally. And as silly as this sentence sounds, all trademarks are owned by the respective owners.
Hey, John, thank you for coming tonight.
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
Joining
Look forward
us.
To joining you guys again.
Absolutely.
Only
absolute
but
pleasure.
Only if Andrea sings some more.
Celebrate good times, come on! It's a celebration.
Holy
My
crap,
cat is gonna kill me.
what are we gonna end up putting out for our listeners? It's gonna be absolutely hilarious.
There's a party going on right here, right
well,
here.
Well, that's been Cage Chronicles, and we thank you so much for joining us. So until next time, don't rip off anybody's belt. I don't know what I'm supposed
Whoa!
To say.
Whoa! What if we like those type of things?
Only if you're two consenting adults.
Yes.
All right, let's do that.
Fair enough.
Until next time, guys. We'll see you later on Cage Chronicles.
Bye.
Good night.